Hello there, welcome to the show. I'm Mike.
I'm Tiffany.
It's day two of our look at a group called 140. This is a Taiwan nonprofit organization or charity, something like that, whose job is to make the lives of migrant workers in Taiwan better.
That's right. And how do they do this? Well, they're very nice. They connect the workers together. They create cultural events for them. They even teach them job skills so they can feel more empowered as well. So they try to, you know, make the lives easier for them. They, you know, let them to easily live in Taiwan more, I think, to kind of adapt to Taiwan easier.
That's right. These are the migrant workers who come mostly from Southeast Asia, so places like Vietnam, Thailand, Indonesia, the Philippines. They come here to do hard work that a lot of people here don't want to do. But, of course, these workers are far away from their families. They're working hard to send money home. So how can we make their lives better? Well, they get education from 140. They teach them job skills, language skills, and also to make our lives better, people from Taiwan who aren't migrant workers, we can get to meet them at their open Sunday activities, which are just fun cultural events for people to go,
have
some, have some interesting food, learn about culture, make new friends, just all in an effort to make us understand them, them understand us, and make everyone live happier together. What a good thing.
That is a very great thing. So let's learn about what else 140 does to help people.
Are we going to do some reading?
Yes, we are.
That's a good thing, too.
Reading. Bettering migrant workers' lives. In order to spread awareness about migrant workers, 140 shares their stories through its Migrant Life channel. Two of the people they have invited to do this are Nori and Aaron. Nori is from the Philippines and has been working in Taiwan for 14 years. During this time, her employers haven't always treated her fairly. She has even been forced to work 6 years straight without a single day off. Still, she stayed at her job in order to support her family in the Philippines. Today, she's a member of Migrante International, a group that promotes migrant workers' rights. Aaron spent 3 years in Taiwan before returning to Indonesia in 2015. Her time in Taiwan was a struggle, as she was required to work every day for 2 years. Yet, she still made time to write and even won first place in Taiwan's Literature Awards for Migrants in 2014. Back in Indonesia, she runs a library, where she also teaches English. She especially hopes to educate children and women so they can have better opportunities.
All right, so the article for today begins, in order to spread awareness about migrant workers, 140 shares their stories through its Migrant Life channel. Wow, that's a good way if you can't make it to the open Sundays, the Migrant Life channel might be good. Remember yesterday we talked about discrimination or prejudice, looking down on people because they're different from you and you think you're better. Well, one of the best ways to make yourself more intelligent and more sensitive to them is to have awareness. This is our first vocab word, A-W-A-R-E-N-E-S-S, A-W-A-R-E-N-E-S-S. It's a noun. Awareness is just basically like knowledge or understanding of a special type of situation or special type of group, circumstance, person, something like that. If you read the news, you will have an awareness of what is going on around the world. If you meet people from other cultures, actually meet them. Don't just read about them on Wikipedia or watch a show about them once on Nat Geo, but actually go to that country or meet the people from that country, you will have an awareness of something.
That's right. And here we see another vocabulary word. It's channeled. Remember, there's two N's in this word. If you leave out one of the N, it becomes Chanel, not the handbag. All right, so what is a channel? It is a noun, and it means the TV stations or all of the programs on a TV station, and that is shows onto TV for us. Of course, now there's many different ways for people to share information now. For example, a lot of people have their own YouTube channels. So a channel doesn't necessarily have to be on TV, but it can also be on the internet as well. And it is the same idea. So if you have a YouTube channel, you can watch these things online. All right. So for example, we can say, my brother didn't want to watch cartoons, so he changed the channel. My brother didn't want to watch cartoons, so he changed the channel.
Okay, so now we've learned a lot about 140 and the things that they do. Let's look at some specific cases, some actual people who've in real life benefited from this group. It says two of the people they have invited to do this are Nori and Aaron. All right, these are their names. There's Nori and there's Aaron. Let's find out about Nori first. It says Nori is from the Philippines.
And has been working in Taiwan for 14 years.
Thank you very much.
So, Nori, we learned about Nori. She's from the Philippines. She's been in Taiwan for 14 years. That's a very, very, very long time.
Absolutely. And so, how's her life been?
Well, I'm pretty sure it wasn't very easy to begin with, but I'm pretty sure she's happy now.
Okay, good.
The article says, during this time, during these 14 years, her employers haven't always treated her fairly. Okay.
Yeah, so we learned that Nori's employers hadn't always been nice to her. And of course, if you're a worker, you probably have an employer. E-M-P-L-O-Y-E-R, E-M-P-L-O-Y-E-R. It's a noun. An employer is basically a boss. Someone who gives you a job is your employer, all right? Now, it could be a company. If you work at 7-Eleven, you could say, oh, my employer is 7-Eleven, the company. Or if someone gives you the job, if they're paying you, they could be your employer too. Now, an employer and a manager, not always the same, because you might have a manager in a restaurant, but your employer is actually the company that owns the restaurant, because the employer is the person who pays you for your work. Your manager might just tell you what work to do, but it's quite similar. Basically, if you have a job, you have an employer as well. That's where you get the money from. For example, Nick is a great employer and always takes care of his workers. Good job, Nick.
All right, we saw another vocabulary word here. We saw the word fairly. It's spelled F-A-I-R-L-Y, fairly. It's an adverb, and it means in a way that is really fair, honest, and reasonable.
Even.
In a way that is, you know, what is right, what is morally right. Okay, so we see here that Nori wasn't treated fairly, meaning that maybe her employer was very mean to her. She didn't get the right kind of pay. She probably didn't really have a nice place to sleep or eat. Those things are not really fair. So we can say that she was treated quite, what not, she wasn't treated very fairly.
So they were mean to her. They didn't treat her evenly. They didn't treat her honestly. Yeah, we often look to laws, right? Countries have laws so that people are treated fairly, so that the rich don't have all the power, the powerful can't do whatever they want. That wouldn't be fair, right? That's the adjective way of saying it. All right, so what were some of the things that happened to her?
Okay.
What did her employers do to treat her unfairly?
Yeah, let's find out. It says, she has even been forced to work 6 years straight without a single day off. Wow, that is very, very unfair.
6 years?
6 years straight.
Without a day off?
No.
Not a little one day, Sunday, and Chinese New Year, birthday.
I don't know.
She had to work on her birthday every year for 6 years.
And Christmas.
And Christmas and New Year's Day, Chinese New Year. So, of course, if she couldn't get a day off for 6 years, she never got to go home and see her family in 6 years. Now,
that's really
I'd say that's really treating someone very badly, very unfairly. But did she quit? No, she didn't quit. It says, still, even with all of that, being treated so badly, she stayed at her job in order to support her family in the Philippines. That's right. The money that these migrant workers make, often goes back home and helps pay for their kids to have clothes and to go to school and to buy books and all of the things that people and their families need. So yeah. She needed the job. She couldn't quit, even though they treated her very, very poorly.
Yeah, that's right. So the article then says, today, she's a member of MyGrant International, a group that promotes migrant workers' rights.
Maybe that's Spanish. Maybe it's migrante.
Migrante. Or I was thinking maybe it was French.
Okay.
I don't know. Migrante sounds pretty nice.
Yeah. Anyway, so this is a group, another probably non-profit organization like 140 that promotes or helps to support, helps to make stronger the rights of migrant workers. So basically, they don't get treated badly and, you know, forced to work 6 years without a day off, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Now there's Aaron. Aaron, it says, spent 3 years in Taiwan before returning to Indonesia in 2015.
So she was
here working for 3 years. She went back home in 2015. And how was it for her when she was a migrant worker in Taiwan?
Well, let's see. It says her time in Taiwan was a struggle as she was required to work every day for 2 years.
Wow. 2 years, not six, but still no days off for two years.
Horrible.
That's tough.
All right, so these two ladies, they really struggle during their time in Taiwan. Now, struggle is our vocabulary word. Let's first learn how to spell it. It's spelled struggle. Struggle. It's a noun and it means to try to do something. You try very, very, very hard to achieve something, even though it was very difficult for you to get there. So, for example, if you are trying to climb a mountain and the mountain is very high and very steep, it might have been a struggle for you to walk up because you might get very tired. You have to climb very, very high. So it was a struggle for you to maybe reach the top of the mountain. Okay, for example, we can also use it in a sentence like this. I had a very bad cold this morning, so it was a struggle for me to wake up for school.
Okay, and we also have this verb require, R-E-Q-U-I-R-E, R-E-Q-U-I-R-E. To require something is to show or to need it, to need it, basically. Mm-hmm. It's necessary. It's something you have to have. All living things require food and water to live, something like that, all right? It's totally necessary. It's something you can't do without. We learned that she was required to work 7 days a week for 2 years. That's something her boss told her to do. It wasn't like, can you, do you mind, we're going to ask you. No, we're telling you, we require you, you must do this. For example, every time you travel to another country, you are required to show your passport.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're the queen.
Oh, right. The queen doesn't need a passport.
The queen of England, she doesn't need a passport.
Well, of course, she is the queen.
She just pulls out some British money and says, this is me! And they say, oh, sorry.
Oh, it's the queen.
Yes, normally you're required to show a passport. Mm-hmm. Like you're required to have a driver's license if you drive. Or your boss might require you to work on Sundays when you don't really want to.
Yeah, but you still have to do it, right?
It's required. Yeah.
It is required. You must do it.
Right.
All right, so.
But our friend Erin, while she was working for two years with no holidays, she did still find some time to be amazing.
Yeah, this is what she did. It says, yet she still made time to write and even won first place in Taiwan's Literature Awards for migrants in 2014.
There you go.
Even though she was busy working, you know, 7 days a week for 2 years.
That's right.
She still made time to write.
Mm.
Now, when you make time for something, it means you kind of take some time to, you let out some time for you to do. You try to give yourself some free time to do something. So I can make time to spend a day with Mike. So that means I clear my time out. I give some free time to spend my day with Mike.
There you go.
Yeah, or we can even say I'm very busy with work, but I still made time to call my parents.
All right. You might schedule things in a certain way to give yourself that free time. And in Aaron's case, she made time to write. Now notice we just say write the verb. Now, but don't think that she's just writing emails or writing lists of food
like
to buy
or
a diary. When we say write like that, what do you do? Oh, I write. Now, that's generally saying you write in a serious kind of way. You probably try to write books or articles for magazines or something like that. What does a writer do? A writer writes. Now, they might write different types of things, but that's their job. It's a serious activity. It's not just, you know, writing a text message or an email or a shopping list or something like that. One thing that writers who write will write is literature. Literature is a word that's, well, it's long and you can see how it's spelled. But basically, it's serious writing, all right? J.K. Rowling, yeah, that could be literature. But we might also talk about Charles Dickens or Ernest Hemingway as being literature. This is serious writing with serious ideas, complicated stories, interesting characters, the type of books people will read in university when they're studying. They might read them for entertainment, but it's a little bit more challenging than maybe just, you know, a magazine article or something like Twilight. I wouldn't call Twilight literature.
Yeah, it's popular either.
It's fine, but it's not literature because literature is generally slightly more serious kind of writing.
Yeah, because you also have to think about all the meanings inside of the story. What is the author trying to tell you?
Yeah.
So in literature, you have to use your brain a little bit more and to kind of think deeper into
It's writing as art, you could probably say.
True.
All right, so what did she do after she won this prize, which is amazing?
Yeah, it's great. It says, back in Indonesia, she runs a library where she also teaches English. So that's amazing, like how she went from, you know, very hard work in Taiwan, and now she's back in Indonesia where she's using these things as a, you know, in a good way, in a positive way.
Fantastic. So she runs a library where people can borrow books, and she teaches English. So she probably speaks Mandarin, Indonesian, English.
Wow.
She writes literature. She won a prize.
That's a
you know,
lot
so any, of empowerment. Anyone who discriminates or looks down on migrant workers, until you can do all those things, which I can't, I don't think it's fair to look down on anyone. I look at someone who writes literature and I just go, wow, that's that's fantastic. Good for you. Anyway, so she's helping out other people as well. And it says she especially hopes to educate children and women so they can have better opportunities. Yeah, in some of those countries, like in Taiwan, but not so much, but, you know, women, children, they don't get the chances that men might get. So it's good to help out the women and children. Studies often show that women and children who are given an opportunity use it in a much better way than, you know, we lazy men do.
No, you're amazing as well.
Well, not necessarily.
But I think it's also because some countries, like maybe Indonesia, maybe women still face discrimination as well.
And also, some of the jobs aren't available to women, and women might be expected to stay at home and take care of the kids grandma. So what do they need an education for? They're just going to be staying at home, cooking and cleaning. Well, a woman with an education can go on to be a doctor, an engineer, an astronaut, or the president, or something fabulous like that.
The sky is the limit.
It is. It is.
All right. So we see that these two ladies, although they did have some difficult times in Taiwan, they were able to turn it around and to make it better for them. And also thanks to 140 and all the other organizations in Taiwan who supported them and also helped them make their lives better here.
Fantastic.
As well.
There you go.
All right. So let's take a quick break and we'll be right back with our For You chat.
For You Chat.
All right, our For You Chat question relates to our article, which is about people making their lives better or helping to make other people's lives better. But sometimes we should look to ourselves to make our lives better, look to ourselves to give ourselves more chances in life. And that's what our chat question's about, right?
Yeah, and it says, what are some things that can help you gain more opportunities in life? Please discuss.
Okay,
actually, this is a really great question, I think.
Yeah.
I would say maybe education. Okay, one of the biggest things is education. If you can get an education and use it to your advantage, this will open you up to a lot of opportunities in life.
That's a very good one. I would also say travel and meet people, right? A lot of the world, we talk about networking. Networking is meeting all sorts of different types of people because you never know when one of those connections in your network, in your sort of organized system of friends, but when one of those connections, one of the people you know, might bring an opportunity for you to learn something new, to have a business opportunity, to get a job. So, you know, don't just sit at home tapping away on your computer. Go out and meet people. Travel a little bit.
Yeah, I think traveling is one of the...
That's a good one.
A really great one because you get to meet all sorts of people from all over the world. You gain a lot more global awareness.
Yes.
Yeah, we used our vocabulary word, global awareness. And I think that's very, very important for people today.
Mm-hmm. And also, I'd say be brave.
Oh.
Be brave. You know, if there's a challenge or something that looks a little bit difficult, well, give it a shot because you never know what you're going to learn. You never know if you'll succeed. And even if you don't, you'll definitely bring something away from that experience.
Yeah, learn from your mistakes as
well. There you go. Be bold. Go forth. Be curious. Be hungry. And always be nice to people. Because you never know when you'll need someone to be nice to you. All right, guys. That's it for us. We're out of here. We'll see you very soon.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
140. Bettering migrant workers' lives. In order to spread awareness about migrant workers, 140 shares their stories through its Migrant Life channel. Two of the people they have invited to do this are Nori and Aaron. Nori is from the Philippines and has been working in Taiwan for 14 years. During this time, her employers haven't always treated her fairly. She has even been forced to work 6 years straight without a single day off. Still, she stayed at her job in order to support her family in the Philippines. Today, she's a member of Migrante International, a group that promotes migrant workers' rights. Aaron spent 3 years in Taiwan before returning to Indonesia in 2015. Her time in Taiwan was a struggle, as she was required to work every day for 2 years. Yet, she still made time to write and even won first place in Taiwan's Literature Awards for Migrants in 2014. Back in Indonesia, she runs a library, where she also teaches English. She especially hopes to educate children and women so they can have better opportunities. Vocabulary Review.
Awareness. Michael's group is spreading awareness about some serious environmental problems. Channel. Carol changed the TV channel when a commercial came on. Employer. Paul enjoys his job mainly because he likes his company and respects his employer. Fairly. The parents taught their children the importance of treating others fairly. Struggle. It was a struggle for Annie to memorize her long speech. Require. This street sign shows the speed limit you're required to drive at.